From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id.
Hello listeners, how are you today? With me, Ahmad Faisal. I'm so fine. I also hope that listeners, all of you are fine. And today, you can also do your best, listeners. And listeners, for today's edition, I would like to accompany you 60 minutes ahead. And we also would like to present some programs started with news and other information, as well as entertainment and Indonesian pop songs. Well, listeners, we begin our program with our news, and stay with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
This is Voice of Indonesia with the news. First, the headline. Indonesian President Joko Widodo visits Beijing and Riyadh to discuss investment cooperation. Indonesian Deputy Minister of Foreign Affairs conveys the relevance of the Indonesia, Latin American, and Caribbean countries amid global uncertainty. I'm Rahmawati, now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo said he visited Beijing, China, and Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, to establish bilateral cooperation in the fields of investment to food security. It was stated in a press statement on Monday, monitored via the Presidential Secretariat's YouTube account. According to him, he would be in Beijing for 2 days to hold bilateral meetings and meet with Chinese President Xi Jinping, PRC's Premier Li Qiang, and PRC's Parliament Speaker Zhao Leji.
Hari ini saya dan delegasi akan melakukan kunjungan kerja ke Beijing, RRT, dan Riyadh.
Today, the delegation and I will make a working visit to Beijing, China, and Riyadh, Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. Two big events are in Beijing on 17 and 18 October, namely making a bilateral visit, meeting with President Xi Jinping, and attending the Belt and Road Forum for the Third International Cooperation. Apart from the bilateral meeting with President Xi Jinping, I will also meet Prime Minister Li Qiang and Chairman of the PRC's Parliament, Zhao Leji. A number of priority issues that the Indonesian government will discuss with the PRC include increasing Indonesian exports, increasing investment, and developing food security.
Isu prioritas yang akan kita bahas dengan RRT antara lain peningkatan ekspor Indonesia, peningkatan investasi, dan pembangunan ketahanan pangan.
Moreover, President Joko Widodo on Wednesday, October 8, 2023, will continue his working visit to Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, to meet with the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia, Mohammed bin Salman, and chair the first ASEAN Gulf Cooperation Organization Summit to discuss cooperation in the economic and investment, product guarantee sectors, halal, energy, and formation of the highest coordinating council. Based on the schedule, President Joko Widodo and his entourage of delegates are planned to return to Indonesia on Saturday, October 21, 2023. Deputy Minister of Foreign Affairs of the Republic of Indonesia, Pahala Mansuri, has said the Indonesia, Latin American, and Caribbean countries, or INALAC meeting, is an important forum which is expected to create new opportunities amid the current global economic challenges. In his speech at the opening of the 5th INALAC meeting in Jakarta on Monday, he said the meeting with the theme Forging Effective Partnership is very relevant when geopolitical competition has touched economic and political aspects and countries compete to reduce economic risk through partnerships only with countries that are considered allies. According to Mansouri, this will have an impact on reducing economic opportunities and hampering efforts to eradicate global poverty.
But we have to turn these challenges into opportunities to advance concrete economic cooperation that transcends beyond political considerations with cooperation rooted in solidarity amongst countries considered South-South cooperation to contribute to our people in prosperity and our well-being.
Furthermore, the Indonesia, Latin America and the Caribbean Business Forum is a flagship program of the Directorate General of American and European Affairs at the Ministry of Foreign Affairs of the Republic of Indonesia, which was initiated in 2019. During its 4 years of implementation, INALAC has facilitated the signing of various agreements between governments and business actors, as well as business agreements. Then, in 2022, INALAC was held on a hybrid basis with business matching. Last year, this forum was recorded as producing business deals worth about $179 million, or around 2 trillion rupiah. Still from Indonesian Deputy Minister of Foreign Affairs Pahala Mansouri, who has encouraged the Indonesia, Latin America and Caribbean countries or INALAC Forum to expand trade and investment cooperation. This was said by Mansouri in his speech at the opening of the 5th INALAC in Jakarta on Monday. According to him, in these two fields, Indonesia, Latin America and Caribbean countries have enjoyed a very significant increasing in the value of cooperation. Mansouri further said, INALAC has a strong mechanism to seek real cooperation.
But we must fully utilize this and pursue other mechanisms, including Indonesia, Mercosur, SEPA, and also Indonesia, Peru, SEPA in the future.
Moreover, Pahala Mansouri also encouraged the INALAC Forum to focus on cooperation in the energy transition sector. According to him, Indonesia and Latin America have the same ambition to transition to the renewable energy and achieve net zero emissions. He further explained that both have enormous potential to become centers of renewable energy, particularly green hydrogen. Apart from that, Indonesia, Latin America, and the Caribbean are also considered to be able to play an important role in the electric vehicle industry because they have abundant reserves of important minerals, including nickel, copper, cobalt, and lithium.
And we have to pursue how we can complement each other to become an important part in accelerating the global energy transition going forward.
Besides, the other things that also receive attention are digital economy and creative economy. According to Mansouri, digital economy and creative economy sectors create many areas for collaboration, including in the development of digital talent and digital infrastructure. Now we move to data from the Central Statistics Agency or BPS in August 2023 that foreign tourist visits to Indonesia reached about 1 million visits. Cumulatively, the total number of foreign tourist visits from January to August 2023 reached more than 7 million visits. In a weekly brief with Sandi Uno in Jakarta on Monday, Indonesian Minister of Tourism and Creative Economy Sandiaga Uno said, of the total 7.4 million visits, around 50% came from Bali, the rest came from Jakarta and the Riau Islands. He also stated at the beginning of the year, the target foreign tourists reached 7.4 million visits, then revised to 8.5 million visits, and projected to reach 10 million visits by the end of 2023.
Tapi secara keseluruhan, seperti yang saya sampaikan, 7.4.
As I said, the previous target 7.4 million at the beginning of the year is revised to 8.5 million. And now we have provided projection guidance that the figure of 10 million, close to 11 million, can be achieved in the last 3 months. Meanwhile, for the target of Indonesian tourist visits of 1.2 to 1.4 billion movements, Sandi Uno said, The Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy will continue to pursue this target, because in the middle of the year, the number of visits was still at 433 million movements. Minister Sandiaga further said there will be possible changes to the method of calculating the movement of foreign tourists, which is currently being coordinated with BPS and mobile positioning data providers. Now we move to the international news. Saudi Arabia's Defense Minister Prince Khalid bin Salman received a call from his United Kingdom counterpart Grand Shapps on Monday. As reported by ArabNews.com, during the call, the two ministers reviewed strategic relations and defense cooperation, Prince Khalid posted on X, formerly Twitter. Prince Khalid added that his side also discussed the situation in Gaza, and he stressed the need to de-escalate, cease military operations, and uphold international law to protect innocent life. Russian President Vladimir Putin and Chinese leader Xi Jinping are set to meet in Beijing this week in a visit expected to underscore their shared vision for a new international order no longer dominated by the United States and its democratic allies. As reported by CNN.com, this meeting between the world's two most powerful autocrats comes as geopolitical fault lines harden globally, first following Russia's grinding invasion of Ukraine, launched just 3 weeks after the leaders' last meeting in the Chinese capital in 2022, and now as Israel's war against Palestinian militant group Hamas threatens to spiral into a broader conflict that could shatter stability in the Middle East. We end the news with Vietnamese President Vo Van Thuong, who leads a high-ranking Vietnamese delegation to attend the Third Belt and Road Forum for International Cooperation from Tuesday to Friday. As reported by VOVworld.vn, the trip is made at the invitation of General Secretary of the Communist Party of China Central Committee and President of China Xi Jinping. Deputy Minister of Foreign Affairs Nguyen Minh Vu told the press that President Vo Van Thuong's trip to China is extremely important on both bilateral and multilateral level. Well, listener, that was the news from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Patriot. Here is today's commentary on Constitutional Court rejects material tests on age limits for presidential and vice presidential candidates. I'm Dalat Pane. After, at the beginning of the year, a number of Indonesian citizens and political parties submitted a request for a judicial review of Article 169, letter Q, of the election law against the 1945 Constitution regarding the age limit for presidential and vice presidential candidates. On Monday, finally, the Constitutional Court session issued a verdict to reject all requests for judicial review of the article. The Chief Justice of the Constitutional Court, Anwar Usman, in the verdict reading session at the Constitutional Court building in Jakarta on Monday, said that he rejected all the lawsuits submitted by the plaintiffs who came from two parties and several private individuals. According perceived that Constitutional Court concluded that the main petition submitted by the applicants was completely unreasonable according to the law. Meanwhile, Constitutional Justice Saldi Isra, on the occasion of reading out the court's consideration, said that the provisions of Article 169, letter Q of Law No. 7 of 2017 apparently do not conflict with fair and discriminatory treatment. However, in this verdict, there were dissenting opinions from two constitutional judges, namely Suhartoyo and M. Guntur Hamzah, regarding this verdict. However, overall, the Constitutional Court rejected all complaints regarding the age limit for presidential and vice presidential candidates. The polemic regarding the age limit for presidential and vice presidential candidates came to light after one of the 2024 presidential candidates was reported to be bringing as his companion a state administrator who was not yet 40 years old when registering the candidate for vice president with the General Election Commission. Besides, the proposal to include candidates under 40 years of age is also blowing hard at the grassroots and has become a hot debate in Indonesian politics after the presidential candidates have been announced by several political parties. The Constitutional Court's verdict is the final one as the highest legal constitutional institution in Indonesia. There is disappointment over the rejection of the lawsuit, even though the reason is to give young people the opportunity to come forward with fresh ideas. However, the verdict of the Constitutional Court judges has gone through quite long procedures and stages. In fact, what has been decided by the Constitutional Court judges becomes the basis for considerations in deciding something based on the thinking of experts who have considered all legal and other aspects. Therefore, the Constitutional Court's verdict must be accepted by all parties. Whether they like it or not, the public are obliged to comply with the Constitutional Court's verdict. That's commentary.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, we begin today in history with the event on October 17, 1962, when Muhammad Yamin passed away. Born in Talawi, Sawah Lunto, West Sumatra on 24th August 1903, Muhammad Yamin is an Indonesian writer, historian, culturalist, politician, and legal expert. He is one of the pioneers of modern Indonesian poetry and the pioneer of the Youth Pledge. Muhammad Yamin died at the age of 59 in Jakarta. In 1973, he was designated as a national hero of Indonesia. Let's turn to the commemoration of International Day for the Eradication of Poverty. International Day for the Eradication of Poverty was created to encourage all countries to work actively to alleviate poverty by taking steps toward sustainable development. Not only the government, people living in poverty are also expected to be involved in identifying long-term solutions to the problems they experience. In December 1992, the United Nations adopted a resolution focusing on poverty. The United Nations designated October 17th as the International Day for the Eradication of Poverty. We end today in history with the commemoration of World Trauma Day. World Trauma Day is celebrated every year on 17th October. This day focuses on saving lives and how to properly handle emergency cases. This day was created to raise awareness about trauma and educate the public on coping with traumatic incidents and deaths. The commemoration of World Trauma Day is expected to spread good information about overcoming trauma and avoiding it if possible. World Trauma Day was created in New Delhi, India in 2011 in reaction to the high number of deaths caused by traffic accidents in that country. Well, listener, that was Today in History read by Ahmad Faisal.
Thank you.
Voice of Indonesia.
My Indonesia Today is on Indonesia and several countries discuss Gaza situation. Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi continues to communicate with foreign ministers of friendly countries to raise support so that steps can be taken immediately to avoid a worsening humanitarian disaster in Gaza. The Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Office uploaded the statement on the official social media account X on Monday, October the 16th. Indonesia, together with a number of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation or OIC countries, also proposed immediately holding a special OIC ministerial meeting. Minister Retno Marsudi planned to attend a special meeting scheduled to be held on October the 18th in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia. Previously, Minister Retno Marsudi had also held telephone conversations regarding the situation in Gaza with a number of foreign ministers. The worrying situation was the focus of the discussion with Saudi Arabian Foreign Minister Faisal bin Farhan Al Saud, United Arab Emirates Foreign Minister Abdullah bin Said Al Nahyan, Egyptian Foreign Minister Sameh Shoukry, and Palestinian Foreign Minister Riyad al-Maliki on Friday. Meanwhile, the telephone conversation with Dutch Foreign Minister Hanke Breunslot and Belgian Foreign Minister Hadja Lahbib discussed the urgency of protecting civilians in Gaza. On the same day, Saturday, October the 14th, Retno Marsudi also conveyed efforts to evacuate Indonesian citizens from Gaza. She discussed it with President of the International Committee of the Red Cross, Mirjana Spoljarik Eger, regarding the deteriorating situation in Gaza. Another telephone discussion was also held by Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi with Malaysian Foreign Minister Zamri Abdul Kadir on October the 15th. The two discussed the latest development in Gaza and the urgency to focus on humanitarian aspects and saving lives. Earlier, in a bilateral meeting in Jakarta on October the 9th, Minister Retno Marsudi had also discussed the Palestinian issue with Brazilian Foreign Minister Mauro Vieira, who currently held the presidency of the United Nations Security Council. That was my Indonesia Today.
Indahnya.
Voice of Indonesia.
VOI listener, today's Indonesian Wonder introduces you to a traditional musical instrument from Central Sulawesi, namely Geso Geso. The original name is Pageso Geso. However, it is easier for local people to call it Geso Geso. This musical instrument is relatively simple, which has a space called resonator. Geso Geso is made from the hard and strong wood with the addition of coconut shells and animal skin as a cover. The animal skin used is usually monitor lizard skin. The sound produced by this musical instrument comes from the strings. Geso Geso consists of a fingerboard, but it doesn't have fret. Uniquely, this musical instrument only has one string that is made from riti or tasi. Geso Geso is played by stroking it using a special bow made from palm fiber called kaiju. In the performance, this musical instrument is only used as a single instrument. Listeners, according to the local people, Geso Geso musical instrument emerged based on the myth about a lost child. Because of that, this musical instrument is music with sad nuance. The sound that comes out of this musical instrument is just a tone that plays according to the feelings of the person who plays it. This musical instrument is played when holding a traditional ceremony, such as death ceremony, weddings, birth, or Thanksgiving. This instrument can be played individually or in groups. If played in groups, then what is done to equalize the tone is harmonizing the sound of each Geso Geso musical instrument on each player so that it will sound harmonious. However, the tones produced by each player should be different from each other. Well, listener, that's Indonesian Wonder from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Thank you.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello there. Welcome back to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia over Voice of Indonesia, which introduces Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to converse in the language. Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia RRI Foreign Broadcasting Station and the Language Development Agency Ministry of Education, Culture, Research and Technology of the Republic of Indonesia. Today's topic is Di Danau Meninjau. Di Danau Meninjau, which means at Lake Meninjau. Next, you'll be listening to a conversation entitled Seluruh Area, Seluruh Area, which means the whole area. This conversation takes place between Chris George Robinson, a vlogger from Australia, and Sorta Uli, a friend of Chris, in the vlog community at Lake Meninjau. They are enjoying the beauty of Lake Meninjau from Puncak Lawang. Let's listen to their conversation.
Luar biasa, indah sekali pemandangan Danau Meninjau dari sini.
Kita bisa melihat seluruh area Danau Meninjau sambil naik para layang.
After listening to the conversation, I will provide some vocabulary related to today's material, seluruh area, which means the whole area. I will say the words slowly twice each, and you can repeat after me. Bisa melihat, which means can see. Seluruh area, the whole area. Danau Meninjau, Lake Meninjau. Sambil, while. Naik para layang, paragliding. Kita bisa melihat seluruh area Danau Meninjau sambil naik para layang. Kita bisa melihat seluruh area Danau Meninjau sambil naik para layang. Which means we can see the whole area of Lake Meninjau while paragliding. Indah sekali, very beautiful. Pemandangan, the view. In the conversation, you heard the phrase, kita bisa melihat seluruh area Danau Meninjau sambil para layang. Kita bisa melihat seluruh area Danau Meninjau sambil para layang. Which means we can see the whole area of Lake Meninjau while paragliding. In that sentence, there is the word seluruh, which means the whole, the entire, or all. In that speech, the expression seluruh area Danau Meninjau, seluruh area Danau Meninjau, which means the entire area of Lake Meninjau. Other examples. Let's listen to some examples of using the word seluruh, which means the whole or entire in other sentences. Chris terkenal di seluruh Indonesia. Chris terkenal di seluruh Indonesia, which means Chris is famous throughout Indonesia or in the entire of Indonesia. Seluruh pengunjung harus membayar tiket masuk. Seluruh pengunjung harus membayar tiket masuk, which means all visitors must pay for entrance tickets. Puncak Lawang is the peak of the plateau in Agam Regency, West Sumatra Province. From Puncak Lawang, the beauty of the blue Meninjau Lake with white clouds above can be seen clearly. Puncak Lawang is often called the land above the clouds. Puncak Lawang is one of the best international paragliding spots. Before ending, mari berbahasa Indonesia or let's speak bahasa Indonesia today. For more details, let's listen to the example of a conversation once again.
Luar biasa, indah sekali pemandangan Danau Maninjau dari sini.
Kita bisa melihat seluruh area Danau Maninjau sambil naik para layang.
That was today's edition of Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia featuring the topic di Danau Maninjau, di Danau Maninjau, which means at Lake Maninjau, with a conversation entitled seluruh area, which means the whole area. Hopefully this edition is useful for those of you who want to get to know Bahasa Indonesia or Indonesian better. We'll meet again tomorrow with a different material. Thank you for listening. Sampai berjumpa lagi. Till we meet again.
Voice of Indonesia.
VOA listener, in today's edition of Music Corner, I play a Malay song called Hujan Gerimis by Hamdi Atan. Many singers have popularized the song, which in English means drizzle. The lyrics of the song tell the story of a person who cries, reminiscing about fate when it drizzles. He is sad because his lover is taken by another man. Alright listener, let's enjoy the Malay song Hujan Gerimis by Hamdi Atan. Happy listening!
Voice of Indonesia.